This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hello and welcome to Star Diary, the podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. You can subscribe to the print edition of the magazine by visiting skyatnightmagazine.com or to our digital edition by visiting iTunes or Google Play.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Star Diary, a weekly guide to the best things to see in the Northern Hemisphere's night sky. In this episode, we'll be covering the coming week from the 4th of July to the 10th of July. I'm Ezzy Pearson, the magazine's news editor, and I'm joined on the podcast today by reviews editor Paul Money. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Ezzy.
So, Paul, what are your recommendations for this coming week?
Well, at the moment, all the action this week will lie in the evening sky. The moon, though, takes centre stage. Now, the moon is the one thing that is the constant thing that moves. Sounds odd, doesn't it? Constant thing that moves. But it is. It's the one thing that we know moves significantly across the sky. And so there's always something it's going to be close to. And so we start off with the July the 4th to the 5th. It moves from Leo into Virgo. Last week, we had it close to Regulus, sort of thing, and it ended actually near Regulus. But now it moves across to actually Virgo. Now, the thing about Leo and Virgo, they are large constellations, so it takes several days for it to cross. It can take 2 to 3 days to cross Leo and 3 to 4 days at most to cross Virgo. So it gives you an idea of how big the actual constellations really are. On the 6th, the moon actually lies close to Porrima. And the Porrima is that tight double star, and it, one of those that it's opened up in recent years. So, you know, it's done particularly well. So we can now split it if you've got a telescope. So it's next to Porrima, Gamma Virginis on the 6th. On the 7th, it's at first quarter phase and lies above Spica, or Spica, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Now, technically, we're dealing with the evening. So it's at about 11 o'clock at night. But technically, the moment of first quarter that day occurs at 2:14 in the morning. But of course, the moon's below the horizon, so we don't see it. So by the time we see it at sort of 11 o'clock at night, it's actually past technically first quarter phase. It's at 59% illumination. But for all intents and purposes, that's when we see it as roughly half phase. It's just one of those things. So perhaps it's time to actually have a look at the moon itself, because we spend a lot of time looking at the stars and the planets and seeing the moon past the actual stars and planets. But it's nice to cover a few features of the moon as well. And the obvious ones are the mares, aren't they? So Mare Imbrium is bisected by the Terminator, so we don't see all of Mare Imbrium itself. But there's a number of mountain ranges and mountains we can actually look up as well. And the Terminator will passes through Mare Nubium as well, further south. So what I was going to do is actually concentrate on the northern half, the area around Imbrium, because at the top of Imbrium, we've got this really dark floored crater, Plato. Now, you know, a small telescope will show you most of these features that I'm actually mentioning. And south of Plato. There's a set of mountains. They're called the Monts Tenerife. So the Tenerife Mountains. And there's two particularly large peaks not far away as well, Mons Pico and Mons Piton. So they are worth having a look at these. They stick out of the lunar mare, which is, of course, this lava plain. And then there's a load of craters as well, sort of thing. You've got Archimedes. You've actually got Eratosthenes, sort of, which stand out extremely well. So Timocharis as well. There's lots and lots of craters here, as well as the mountains. And there's also Hadley Rill. So, you know, there's so much on the moon. You could literally take a smaller section of this region and spend hours, you know, studying it and all the features you can actually see there. So Plato, Archimedes, Eratosthenes, and also just lower part, just where the Monts Apennines and Eratosthenes actually merges towards the actual terminator, there'll be a lighter patch of the landscape, and that's actually the emerging rays of Copernicus. Copernicus itself at this stage will still be in shadow, but you will see the ray pattern actually because of that. And often we tend to wait until the moon's illuminated, fully illuminated, so we've got full moon to mention the rays, sort of thing. But you know, you can see some of them at different phases if you know where to look. So that's a bit about the moon itself. On July the 8th and 9th, the moon lies either side of the wide double star Alpha Libra, or Zuben El Gnubi. A big mouthful, that one, isn't it, sort of thing? But yeah, but it is a lovely wide one. Binoculars will show it. So well worth having a look at. And finally, for this particular week, on the 10th, the moon lies in Scorpius. And it's actually in Scorpius. Scorpius is one of those funny constellations that the IAU, sort of thing, they designated it. They sort of made Scorpius, the northern half, quite thin, sort of thing. So, you know, there's this, and then the rest of it is Ophiuchus. So we tend to think of, sort of thing, what we think of as Scorpius, a large part of it is actually Ophiuchus. Rho Ophiuchi is north of Antares, and so it's just above it, and yet it's in Ophiuchus instead. But the, ironically, the moon actually will be in Scorpius at this particular point, between Beta and Alpha, between Beta and Antares. So that'd be a great way to, because I love when you get the moon next to Antares, because Antares itself is a glorious reddish star. So put binoculars on it, put a small telescope on it, and you can see this wonderful reddish star. And again, the moon guides you to it, although it is a naked eye star. But again, it's low down, so you do need a good uncluttered horizon to actually spot it. So that, I think, is a good way to actually finish this particular week, don't you think?
Yeah, I always feel like the moon gets a bit of a bad rap, especially from deep sky astronomers. But there's so many things to see on the moon. It's such a beautifully detailed surface, and it's the only thing in our solar system that we can ever see with sort of any real kind of degree of clarity or detail. So I definitely think it's always worth shouting about what you can see on the moon, in my opinion.
Exactly. And you know, deep sky sort of thing. If the moon's up, well, you know, you can't do your deep sky, so become a lunar observer.
Exactly. Just chop and check. I mean, it's a rubbish time of year to do deep sky anyway, so look at the moon instead. But thank you very much for taking the time today, Paul, to tell us all about the moon.
If you want to find out even more spectacular sights that will be gracing the night sky throughout the month, be sure to pick up a copy of BBC Sky at Night magazine, where we have a 16-page pull-out sky guide with a full overview of everything worth looking up for. Whether you like to look at the moon, the planets, or the deep sky, whether you use binoculars, telescopes, or neither, our sky guide has got you covered with the detailed star charts to help you track your way across the night sky. From all of us here at BBC Sky at Night magazine, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Star Diary podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at skyatnightmagazine.com or head to Acast, iTunes, or Spotify.